Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had regarding the case of the murder of Ellen Greenberg, a case that to this day is still defined as a suicide. These are our conversations from 2023.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
January 26, 2011. Ellen Greenberg lost her life. Stabbed more than 20 times, including post-mortem stab wounds into the back of the neck, chest, and head. Police asking the medical examiner to rule it a suicide, contrary to their already understanding this was a homicide. It's a case that makes little to no sense, and even less when we learn about the politics in Philadelphia and the politicians involved who refused to give this case the justice it deserves. And a look at that autopsy one more time to properly identify how Ellen died. All this week, Sandra and Josh Greenberg are with us to hear their story, struggling to find justice for their daughter, Ellen Greenberg.
It was December. Usually we take a family vacation every year over Christmas, that week when everyone else kind of shuts down.
Sure.
Well, I shut down. We were taking Ellen and her fiance along with us to St. Kitts. We were all on vacation together then. And
the world was good.
Yeah.
Ellen was happy. She found a boyfriend she quote unquote loved. Sandy and I were happy for her that it was, this is the way life was. We wanted her to be married. We wanted her to be happy. We wanted her to raise a family. We wanted everything to go whatever.
Yeah.
It seemed like I wasn't totally happy because I'm a father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no father is totally happy with a future son-in-law. But it's like if you hit a shot and play golf and you hit it to the right of the sand trap, it's not what you want, but maybe I can work with it. So, I mean, I made a living. Sandy was working, was happy with her job. I was happy with what I was doing professionally. We had moved to, where are we now? In Harrisburg. My mother-in-law was happy because Sandy moved back there. You know, there were a lot of good things and life was good. And Ellen was happy.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Just life was in a good place. Those times you look back on and go, that's a good stretch.
If we could pick the things we wanted to put in place, they were there.
Good. Yeah.
A nice Jewish boy.
So she's with Samuel Goldberg. She's engaged. Things are looking like this is a very happy relationship from the outside looking in and maybe from the inside looking out as well. What were the dynamics like between Ellen and Sam from what you had been able to witness on that trip and just the time leading up that they've been dating?
Ellen had a dominant personality. If my wife wanted to insult her, she'd say she's just like you. And they were getting along and things were good. And then things started to take a turn for the...
No, we had just... So it was very, very lovely. We had a great vacation. We were getting back like right before New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to figure out what their plans were. And I had no reason to suspect anything.
Until Ellen started asking to come home from Philadelphia.
But that was after we got back from vacation.
Yeah, after we got back. Gradually, she started asking us to let her come home.
Mm-hmm.
I have no knowledge. We had no knowledge of anything unusual with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, I thought something happened to my daughter. Maybe she had a little nervous breakdown or something, whatever, but yeah. She didn't have anything. I made a deal with her. If she would go to a psychiatrist we picked out, because I wanted her, the psychiatrist. I am calm, Sandy. She would go to the psychiatrist I recommended or found for her and paid the bills for. And they worked it out. She could leave her job and go home.
Okay.
My primary concerns were her job and her health.
Mm-hmm.
reverse order, her health and her job. Sure. I didn't understand why she wanted to come home. We didn't know why. There was hints that it was her job was too much for her with her teaching. But after Ellen passed, after she was murdered, mm-hmm. and the teacher took over her class, everything was in order. In other words, nothing was out of order. It wasn't like Ellen couldn't cope with anything. She couldn't do the work. Everything was perfect. In fact, after her death, we got a number of very nice responses from parents of children that Ellen had worked with in school and things like that. So everything was good. Then all of a sudden, things took a turn for the we don't understand.
Yeah.
And that's how I handled it. I was also a little sick at the time, so I was not as involved with anything except trying to keep myself out of the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. Sandy and I agreed to make this deal with Ellen. If she went to a psychiatrist to straighten out what was going on, and the psychiatrist said she'd go home, yes, we'd forfeit the job for her health.
Sure.
But all of a sudden, everything is screwy. Go ahead.
The time there where she's saying, you know, I'd like
you
to
you don't like me talking, go in another room. Go ahead, Tony.
The time that she is telling you, you know, I'd like to come home, and you're asking, well, why do you want to come home, honey? What are you getting? What kind of response are you getting from her? Is she kind of elusive about it, or is she just...
I would use the word elusive. We just didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And since I didn't understand it, I didn't pry.
Did you ever have a conversation with Sam at that time about, hey, you know,
no.
She's not feeling right, or...
No, Sam is not related to us and not part of our responsibility at this time, in my opinion. I'm concerned about my daughter and
sure.
only my...
Let me ask you about her dynamics with her friends in the workplace and things of that nature. Was everything going good for her there? Obviously, you know, you just talked about some stressors and her wanting to come home.
As far as we knew, mm-hmm. everything was fine. They had no idea that Ellen was going to get murdered. Mm-hmm. That she was having trouble with her life, such that it would end up in her being stabbed 20 times.
It was the furthest thing from our imagination.
What was the last communications that you had with her?
I spoke to Ellen that morning. She was on her way to work, and I was in my bathroom putting my makeup on, getting ready to go to work. And we did our typical check-in with each other. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, we didn't really talk too much about the weather, even though it probably should have been a major subject, because later that day, her school closed early, and Josh closed his office, and I was sent home from my office because we were getting a nor'easter. But mm-hmm. circling back to the conversation that Ellen and I had that morning, I was telling her to look specific. Please, you know, be sure to go to your mailbox, because she didn't get much mail, but I knew that W-2s would be sent out and different things for taxes. And so I wanted her to like look a little more consistently at the mailbox, because we send our things to our accountant.
Sure.
Tony,
little did we know, Ellen passes away and our accountant goes to file our tax returns and Ellen's tax returns, and Ellen's check
a refund
was cashed.
Check.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody stole her refund. Do you understand also, she was in this Philadelphia suburb of Manayunk and we were in Harrisburg, about 2 hours away.
There's more of my conversation with Sandra and Josh Greenberg coming up. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of this conversation every day this week. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.